بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، أما بعد. قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولا تقولوا لمن يقتل في سبيل الله أموات بل أحياء ولكن لا تشعرون. صدق الله العظيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. رب يسر ولا تعسر وتمم بالخير وبك نستعين يا فتاح يا فتاح يا فتاح. Before we start, some very unfortunate news this morning. Our dear Muadhin Sab Hafiz Abdul Wahid, his elder brother, was undergoing some heavy illness throughout the past couple of months, for which reason Hafiz Saab had to take out 3 weeks a few months ago to go and tend to his brother, take him to hospital and tend to his needs. And just this morning, the unfortunate news that he has passed away. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant Hafiz Saab's brother eternal peace, comfort, and make his next part of his journey easy, without any difficulty. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enter our dear brother, our uncle, into paradise without any reckoning. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. These are matters that come part and parcel with life. We cannot avoid difficulties, we cannot avoid calamities. And once a Muslim, a believer, he truly embraces this concept that there will be moments throughout his life where he will be trialed and tested. Because in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ. That certainly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will subject you to trials. And the manner of emphasis that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses in the verses in the Arabic, it suggests that absolutely 100% you will definitely be going through some type of trouble, whether it be to do with your physical health, whether it be to do financial loss, whether it be to do with some type of family issues, whatever the case, there's absolutely going to be difficulties and there's no escaping that. Imam Hassan al-Bisri rahimahullah, he mentions that the matter of death is such a thing that the son of Adam treats this absolute certainty with the most amount of doubt, as if it may not occur, as if it may not happen. So there are examples throughout our, you know, literature of Quran, of the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which as Muslims we really need to kind of take a moment and step back and realize, am I prepared, am I ready for an eventual time if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was to test me, whereby I've protected myself in such a way that I do not compromise on my deen, I do not compromise on my mental faculties, that I lose hope, I go into a state of sadness that can lead to depression. Preparation is the key word over here. And in order for us to make these preparations, we have to go back and look towards examples of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, whom at the time of calamity they displayed such level of faith, such level of trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which will go beyond our kind of scope. And sometimes when we don't have these reference points in our minds, we believe that it's unattainable. The possibility of that doesn't even occur. So based on this, there's a very profound story regarding Sulaym radiallahu ta'ala anha. And her story is very, very amazing, in particular one specific incident. So Sulaym radiallahu ta'ala anha, she was amongst the women who were known for the strength of Iman, her character. And her full name was Sulaym bint Milhan. And in other places, her first name was Rumaysa. And she was one of the first Ansar women to embrace Islam. Initially, she was married to a non-Muslim whose name was Malik ibn Nadr. And through this marriage, they had the son Anas ibn Malik being the famous Sahabi from the Mukthirin al-Hadith, the ones who narrated the most amount of a hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. However, after she embraced Islam, her husband was filled with such level of hatred that she left her and she was there to look after her son while she was also at a very tender age herself. So she was still in a stage of beauty, of being a very good proposal. And many men from Medina had also come towards her to ask for her hand in marriage. And from amongst them was a very rich, a very handsome man. And this was none other than Abu Talha, who also later embraced Islam. However, before he came Muslim, he was known to be very affluent. And he proposed to Sulaim that if you accept my hand in marriage, I will give you a heavy dowry and I will offer you a life filled with luxury. And this woman, her faith, her iman, her level of Islam was always at the forefront of her decision making. And she mentioned that initially that, "O Abu Talha, do you not know that your God whom you worship is just a tree that grew in the ground and was carved into shape by the slave of Banu so-and-so?" That she is thinking that you are unfortunately committing shirk. How can I possibly bring myself into your marriage? And she's trying to get to make him understand how absurd his worship of a created idol is. So then he says that, "Of course." And then she mentions, "Do you not feel ashamed to prostrate yourself to a piece of wood that grew in the ground and was carved by the slave of Banu so-and-so?" Abu Talha himself was stubborn and hinted to her of an expensive dowry and luxurious lifestyle. But she persisted in her point of view. And she told him quite frankly, "O Abu Talha, a man like you could not be turned away, but you are a disbelieving man. And I am a Muslim woman. It is not permitted for me to marry you. But if you were to embrace Islam, then that would be my mahar, that would be my dowry. And I would ask you for nothing more." Then afterwards he went away and he allowed this interaction to kind of simmer in his mind and he's starting to reflect and think. And the following day he returned to try to tempt her with a larger dowry, a more generous gift. But she stood firm and her persistence and maturity only enhanced her beauty in his eyes. The fact that this woman, she knows exactly what her values are and she is remaining firm on her principles, this increased her beauty in the eyes of Abu Talha. So then she said to him, "O Abu Talha, do you not know," she repeated again, "that your God whom you worship was carved by the carpenter slave of so-and-so?" And then she goes further to say this time that if you were to set it alight, if you were to put it on fire, it would actually burn, it would crumble into pieces. As soon as she mentioned these words, it came to a shock to Abu Talha, to the point where he asked himself, "Does the Lord burn? The very being that I am prostrating towards, I am worshipping, how can such a being burn? How can it crumble to nothing?" And it was at this moment where he says, "Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah." At this point, then Sulaim said to her son Anas, with joy flooding her entire being, "O Anas, her son, marry me to Abu Talha," because she was overjoyed that this person has now brought Islam. So Anas radiallahu anhu, he brought witnesses and the marriage was then completed. Abu Talha was so happy that he was determined to put all his wealth at Sulaim's disposal, but hers was the attitude of selfless pride, sincere believing women. She told him, "O Abu Talha, I married you for the sake of Allah and I will not take any other dowry." She knew that when Abu Talha embraced Islam, she did not only win herself a worthy husband, but she also earned a prize, a reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what was better, in the narration that we hear, that a person who through you enters into Islam, it is better than red camels in paradise. These are the words that gave her that level of motivation, that this is my dowry, the fact that I'll be in paradise and Allah will honor me with red camels, i.e. a huge prize. And the Muslims at the time, they'll say, "We have never yet heard of a mahar that was more valuable and precious than that of Sulaim, for she made Islam her mahar." This was the mentality of this individual. But then if you go into the incident that I was referring to earlier, to try to understand that only when you're tried and tested to the limits, then a true, you know, the worth of an individual will show. So once, and this narration is mentioned by Anas radiallahu ta'ala, رضي الله عنه قال مرض ابن لأبي طلحة من أم سليم رضي الله عنهما فقال فمات الصبي في المخدع فسجته ثم قامت فهيأت لأبي طلحة إفطاره كما كانت تهيئ له كل ليلة. So he mentions Anas رضي الله عنه that once they had a son, Abu Talha and Umm Sulaym. And once Abu Talha was away at night, this time when the baby was asleep, Umm Sulaym, she came to her son, her baby, her child, and she found the child to have passed away. And the baby was just in the cradle. So then she wrapped him, she clothed him, and she laid the baby to rest. And immediately after, ثُمَّ قَامَتْ فَهَيَّأَتْ لِأَبِي طَلْحَى إِفْطَارَهُ. Straight away, she then prepared food for her husband. In this moment of huge level of grief, can you imagine, you have a child, you've been waiting for a child, and you have so many hopes and dreams. When a person thinks to himself, who if was to pass away in my life, you know, would cause me the most amount of stress, grief, sorrow, it would definitely be your child, because even a small scratch, you feel that pain. You feel, how did they feel when they, you know, had a small kind of level of hurt? So despite this, she prepared food for Abu Talha the way she would every night. فدخل أبو طلحة وقال لها كيف الصبي. Then Abu Talha, he came home رضي الله عنه, and he asked that how is our child, and she said بأحسن حال. She said that he is in the best of states. Don't worry about him. He is very, very well. فَحَمِدَ اللَّهِ. Then Abu Talha, he praised Allah. ثُمَّ قَامَتْ فَقَرَّبَتْ إِلَىٰ أَبِي طَلْحَ إِفْطَارَهُ. Then she brought close to him his plate of food. ثُمَّ قَامَتْ إِلَىٰ مَا تَقُومُ إِلَيْهِ النِّسَاءُ فَأَصَابَ أَبُو طَلْحَ مِنْ أَهْلِهِ. And then beyond this, right, when a situation where a normal, another woman would be in a complete state of frenzy, she's maintaining that level of composure, providing food. On top of that, she's now adorned herself, beautified herself, so that she may please her husband Abu Talha. And then they had relation at night. فَلَمَّا كَانَ سَحْرٌ قَالَتْ يَا أَبَا طَلْحَ ألم ترى آل فلان استعاروا عارية فتمتعوا بها فلما طلبت منهم شق عليهم قال ما أنصفوا. Subhanallah. When the morning time came, now she found it's the time that maybe I need to break this news. But look at the level of wisdom, the level of gentleness that she is delivering this very heavy news. She says, by drawing an example to her husband, saying, O Abu Talha, you tell me, what do you think? If a group of people, they were given an item to borrow, and they used it, they benefited from it, and they enjoyed it, but the moment it came where the original main owners of that item, they came to sort it back, as is their due right, because it's not belonging to the people that are borrowing, they're just using it for a temporary benefit, it actually belongs to the owner. So what do you say when those people are borrowing that item, at the time of the owner demanding the item back, they refuse, they find it difficult, they don't want to give it back? Then Abu Talha says, that's completely unjust. These people, they will be, you know, violating the rights. So then what does she say? You can understand. She says, قَالَتْ فَإِنَّ ابْنَكَ كَانَ عَارِيَةً مِنَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى قَدْ قَبْضَهُ فَحَمِدَ اللَّهُ وَاسْتَرْجَعَ. So she says, likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us a child and we brought it up to the extent that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed for. Last night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided to take his servant back to him. This was the level of diligence, gentleness, you know, far-sightedness, understanding, being aware of what it means, weighing up difficulties and what it means for a believer that it is an opportunity for a person's strength to be, faith to be strengthened, for their elevation in paradise to be attained. All of these things, these are huge things going on, but she's just mentioning it in a very, you know, casual way, as if, you know, it's very normal, but it's very abnormal. And this is something, it provides us a benchmark that these are individuals, Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'een, how they dealt with the most heartbreaking of scenarios is very, very mind-boggling. And then what happens? He says that Abu Talha, he praised Allah. He himself as well, on top of this, He praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he said, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ ثُمَّ غَدَى عَلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فَقَالَ لَهُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَا أَبَا طَلْحَةَ بَارَكَ اللَّهُ لَكُمَا فِي لَيْلَتِكُمَا فَحَمَلَتْ بِعَبْدِ اللَّهِ بْنِ أَبِي طَلْحَةَ. And at the same time, when they went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the morning, without being informed, without needing to tell them of the situation, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had already been divinely inspired of what had happened between the two. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, O Abu Talha, may Allah bless you in your coming together with your wife last night. And they earned the blessed dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, after which consequently they were given another child by the name of Abdullah ibn Abi Talha. So like this, through a difficult scenario, through the level of sabr and patience, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gifted them a child as well. This is a story, an incident that we really, really need to kind of internalize, understand what it means to be, number one, a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every single thing that happens, happens by the will and decree of Allah. Are we completely ready? Even if it comes at a complete surprise, out of nowhere, will we be there to straight away, without any uttering of, why did Allah do this? How can this happen to me? Are we ready to say Alhamdulillah as the first and foremost? And what happens when a person does this? What happens when a person who's his beloved are taken away? Jibreel alayhi salam, he has conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah asked him, that was the relative or the child of so and so taken away? And then the angel replied in the affirmative, yes. And then Allah will ask, what did they respond with? What did they respond with? What did they say immediately at the striking of that very difficult moment? And then the angel will say that Hamidallah wa starja. That in that moment they praised Allah and they said, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, then for that person, make a palace for him in paradise and call it Baytul Hamd. That in paradise, in Jannah, make for that person a palace in paradise and call it the house of praise. This is the reward that's in store. Is Jannah, is Jahannam, are these realities in our minds that at every single turn that we take in this world, that we are seeing the consequences behind every good action, the consequences of every bad action? Because for these individuals, our role models, Jannah, Jahannam, hereafter, Akhirah, was definitely a reality. And they implemented it through their lives. And we are very fortunate to have these stories in front of us. We didn't need to go through difficulties to go experience and then find out what to do. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they had given us such a huge favor in that sense. Their huge mercy that they've been through difficult, testing, trying times to the point that we wouldn't even be able to burden a small fraction of. But they displayed to us how to respond to it. We need to take benefit of this very huge, useful resource and look at these stories and make that a benchmark. So for our Hafiz, whose brother passed away, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him the level of patience that we have seen through the story of Ummu Salim and Abu Talha. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also prepare us for any, you know, pending difficulties that may arise, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strengthen our iman through it and replace it with something better and give us an abode in paradise. Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanallah bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Ashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah, Ashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah, Ashhadu anna Muhammadar Rasulullah, Ashhadu anna anna Muhammadar Rasulullah. Hayya ala salah. Hayya ala salah. حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر La ilaha illa Allah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Juma Mubarak. Brother, help the masjid generously, please. Allah raste masjid ashajja khuruka. As our Imam Sahib, he's mentioned earlier about this in the our Muajin and the Imam Hafiz Abdul Wahid Sahib. His elder brother has passed away this morning in Bangladesh. He you know, recently he went to the Bangladesh to see him as well as he also many times mentioned to us, and yeah, our brother, he's very beloved brothers. He's so many times in Bangladesh making communication and finding out and how can he improve the health condition is up. But you know, as Allah called him, this is why he left this fragile world last night. So we everybody make a dua for him, inshallah. And secondly, our neighbor, his immediate neighbor, which is on the next road, he day before yesterday, he went to the hospital for a very little matter. But now his physical condition turned into the seriousness. He's in critical condition, like in his intensive care. It's very unlikely to be survived again. So this is our human life. Everybody, you know, we have to make dua for each other. And another brother had a bypass operation, is Luthur Rahman Sahib. He made a request, and his family also make a request for him. So many other people are their illness. So could you please, brother, make a dua for the illness people, are those who are suffering from home as well as the hospital. So our duty to, make dua for them, inshallah. And inshallah, our brothers, Javed, can you come over here? And see, so I'm also coming up. Brother, please help the masjid. As you know that this is the big substantial amount still outstanding for the come of the debt, about £550,000. So as much as possible, please help us generously. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadar Rasulullah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadar Rasulullah. Hayya 'ala salah. Hayya 'ala salah. Hayya 'ala falah. Hayya 'ala al-falah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illa
الله المطلع على خفيات السرائر العالم بمكنونات الضمائر مقلب القلوب وغفار الذنوب وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله سيد المرسلين وجامع شمل الدين وقاطع دابر الملحدين صلى الله عليه وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين وسلم كثيرا. أما بعد، فإن كون إصلاح السرائر دعامة لإصلاح الظاهر مما نطق به القرآن وسنة رسول الإنس والجان، فقد قال الله تعالى: ولكن قولوا أسلمنا، وقال تعالى: فإنها لا تعمى الأبصار ولكن تعمى القلوب التي في الصدور، وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: ألا وإن في الجسد مضغة إذا صلحت صلح الجسد كله، وإذا فسدت فسد الجسد كله، ألا وهي القلب. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: إن الرجل لا يكون من أهل الصلاة والزكاة والحج والعمرة والجهاد حتى ذكر سهام الخير وما يجزى يوم القيامة إلا بقدر عقله. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: يقول ملك الموت: أيتها النفس الطيبة، ويقول: أيتها النفس الخبيثة. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. إن في ذلك لذكرى لمن كان له قلب أو ألقى السمع وهو شهيد. الحمد لله، نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله، أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا بين يدي الساعة. من يطع الله ورسوله فقد رشد، ومن يعصهما فإنه لا يضر إلا نفسه ولا يضر الله شيئا. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي: يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك، وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات، وبارك على محمد وأزواجه وذريته. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: أرحم أمتي بأمتي أبو بكر، وأشدهم في أمر الله عمر، وأصدقهم حياء عثمان، وأقضاهم علي، وفاطمة سيدة نساء أهل الجنة، والحسن والحسين سيدا شباب أهل الجنة، وحمزة أسد الله وأسد رسوله رضوان الله تعالى عليهم أجمعين. الله الله في أصحابي، لا تتخذوهم غرضا من بعدي، فمن أحبهم فبحبي أحبهم، ومن أبغضهم فببغضي أبغضهم، وخير القرون قرني ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم. اللهم أيد الإسلام وأنصاره وأذل الشرك وأشراره. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى واجعل آخرتنا خيرا من الأولى. اللهم انصر من نصر دين محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم واجعلنا منهم، واخذل من خذل دين محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ولا تجعلنا منهم. اللهم احفظ الحرمين الشريفين والمسجد الأقصى. اللهم أعد مسجد الأقصى في رحاب المسلمين. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم انصر إخواننا في فلسطين. اللهم انصر المسلمين المستضعفين في كل مكان يا رب العالمين. عباد الله رحمكم الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله العلي العظيم يذكركم ودعوه يستجب لكم، ولذكر الله تعالى أعلى وأولى وأعز وأجل وأتم وأهم وأعظم أكبر. أقيموا الصلاة.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن محمد رسول الله، أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. حي على الصلاة، حي على الصلاة، حي على الفلاح، حي على الفلاح، قد قامت الصلاة، قد قامت الصلاة. الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله.
استووا وأقيموا صفوفكم وتراصوا. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. إن المتقين في ظلال وعيون، وفواكه مما يشتهون، كلوا واشربوا هنيئا بما كنتم تعملون، إنا كذلك نجزي المحسنين. ويل يومئذ للمكذبين. كلوا وتمتعوا قليلا إنكم مجرمون. ويل يومئذ للمكذبين. وإذا قيل لهم اركعوا لا يركعون. ويل يومئذ للمكذبين. فبأي حديث بعده يؤمنون.
الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين،
إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين إن الأبرار لفي نعيم وإن الفجار لفي جحيم يصلونها يوم الدين وما هم عنها بغائبين وما أدراك ما يوم الدين ثم ما أدراك ما يوم الدين يوم لا تملك نفس لنفس شيئا والأمر يومئذ لله الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات اللهم اغفر لحينا وميتنا وشاهدنا وغائبنا وصغيرنا وكبيرنا وذكرنا وأنثانا اللهم من أحييته منا فأحيه على الإسلام ومن توفيته منا فتوفه على الإيمان اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا اللهم رب الناس أذهب البأس واشف أنت الشافي لا شفاء إلا شفاءك شفاء لا يغادر سقما اللهم أصلح أحوال المسلمين اللهم ألف بين قلوبهم وأصلح ذات بينهم وانصرهم على عدوك وعدوهم يا رب العالمين اللهم انصر إخواننا في فلسطين اللهم انصرهم يا رب العالمين
اللهم انصر المسلمين المستضعفين في كل مكان يا رب العالمين. اللهم إنا نسألك خير ما سألت ومنه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم، وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين.